Hashtag murder may contain explicit and disturbing material and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello!
And welcome to...
Hashtag murder!
I'm Scar.
And I'm Dustin.
And we are millennials who love murder.
We do.
And Dustin is taking over for the time being, for the foreseeable future.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
All right. I'm not nervous at all.
No, you shouldn't be. We're just having fun. Just me and you talking about some horrible, very sad things.
With a twist. Oh, I like the twist.
Yeah. Oh, tell me what you've been doing.
Well, I got myself signed up on Thumbtack after much prodding to do handyman stuff.
Yes. So if you were in the Somerville, Goose Creek, North Charleston, Charleston, James Island,
can we just say
Monk's
Charleston
Corner
area?
Jeez. Area. Find Dustin on Thumbtack and he will hang your shower rod that you've had for a year and a half that's just been sitting there. Or change out a light fixture, or hang up a ceiling fan, or change out a toilet. The man can do it all.
Jack of all, master of none.
That's okay. That's all right. You're out here doing it.
I'm trying.
Yeah. How about them trees, babe?
Oh, babe, the trees look as good as they've ever looked. So this is their sixth year in the ground.
They seem very happy.
And I'm very happy with their results so far.
Well, good.
Okay, like, they've doubled and tripled. Okay, all right. I'm a tree nerd, okay?
They seem to be flourishing. They seem to be living their best lives, honey. Alongside the lizard factory.
We have a bunch of river rocks, okay? It's perfect for... frogs and lizards.
And famously, I am anti-frog and lizard.
I don't understand that. All right, they are not slimy. They're definitely not aggressive. And honestly, they're so fucking cute.
They're sneaky, honey. They will sneak up on you whenever you're least expecting it, and they will
do nothing.
They'll pop right on you.
And do nothing
and
to
you're
you.
You're like, ah, there's a lizard on me.
Yeah, but they're doing nothing to you.
You don't know that. They could be attacking. They could be trying to get into an orifice. And I do not appreciate a lizard. I had a frog. There was one time I was delivering pizza and I almost dropped 4 pizzas because a frog jumped onto my leg and I almost...
A frog.
It was foul.
Something that weighs...
I felt it. It was wet and it was... and it just... It just landed right on me, and it was so gross.
Yeah, we got a lizard factory out front, though.
I know. They're always on the front door. It's a thing. And also, we're going to paint the front door. We haven't discussed this, but we will be painting the front door. I'm thinking a nice shade of yellow or orange.
It will not be orange.
Red.
I can dig red.
Purple.
I can dig purple.
Okay. Anything but orange? I like orange.
I like orange, but not for a front door.
Huh.
All right, I think that's sending the wrong signal to people.
Well, we will agree to disagree. No. What signal would it be sending?
Of course, that we're orange people.
Okay.
I'm not an orange person. I'm a blue person.
I'm aware. Okay, well, in a bizarre turn of events, Dustin will be telling Scar a story. And I cannot wait. And we've been so excited. He's been so excited. He's like, hey, I'm typing up notes. It's happening. And all right. I'm excited.
This is my first one.
Yeah.
What's today's date?
Today's date.
April
17th.
All right.
2024.
Cherry popped.
Oh, yes. Ah, it's happening.
It's happening, honey.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, tell me.
All right, so we're going into the, got it. It sucks to say this, but the Wayback Machine, we're going almost 30 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, 30 years ago was 1995.
Wow.
So the year's 1995, and we are in Rochester, Michigan.
I was 3.
I was 13.
And you were 13, yes.
Oh, my God. We were still living in North Carolina. Okay. 23-year-old psychology major entering her senior year at Oakland University is Tina Bigger.
Tina. Will always remind me of Bob Burgers.
And it's B-I-G-G-A-R, but everybody pronounced it Bigger.
Bigger. Okay. Bigger.
So.
Got it.
She was raised in a military family, and she was known as a vivacious and hardworking
young lady.
Young woman. Okay, and I had to Google vivacious. Like, I thought that I knew. What do you think vivacious means?
Like, flamboyant and outgoing and the life of the party?
You're right? Kind of, you're right.
Am I wrong?
No, it's like a $5 word, right? Like, I was like, vivacious. When's the last time you used vivacious?
Well, there is a drag queen named Vivacious.
So this is, I Googled it. So vivacious is happy and lively. That is in an attractive way.
Oh.
And it's typically used for women.
Okay.
You never hear about a vivacious guy.
Well, you can.
Yeah, but he's gay. He would actually be on Drag Race.
He would be
on Drag Race, except for that one guy that wasn't gay on Drag Race.
Yeah. Metamorphosis. Yes.
We're just gonna keep moving here. Donna Pendergast, the prosecutor, described Tina as the all-American girl, came from a military family. Her father was a Coast Guard commander, and her mother was a registered nurse. Okay.
Good upbringing. Good parents.
Yeah. So, very stable home. Tina has at least one sister. I couldn't figure out if she was older or younger.
That's okay.
Tina worked her way through school at the Rochester Chop House. Big steakhouse. Actually, still there.
Oh, I thought you meant she was going to school there. Okay, she was working at the Chop House. And it's still there?
It's still there. And she was going she's going to Oakland University.
Okay.
This is in Rochester, Michigan, and she is working at the Rochester Chop House.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Think of
Hall's Chop House?
No, not even close. Think of Longhorn Steakhouse with seafood.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got you.
She lived with her boyfriend, Todd Nurnberger.
Should we ever trust a Todd?
I know one Todd. He is an awesome guy.
Hey, you know two Todds. Lawrence Todd.
I do know Lawrence Todd. He's a bit pouty right now.
He's about to be a teenager.
He's going to be a teenager. Holy shit, is that poutiness going to... And honestly, I think his sister whoop his ass.
Oh, 100%.
Right now?
Kylie, yes.
Kylie, I give Kylie 10 out of 10 that she whoops his...
Can't wait for you to weigh in, Lauren.
Todd was a student at the University of Michigan, and they lived near campus, both campuses, in a very, what they called, upscale apartment.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so this is much nicer than the apartment that I lived in.
It's like the apartment I lived in.
Oh, see, yeah, no, girls always live in nicer apartments than boys do.
Yeah. Although that one I lived in with Kylie... That was a hot garbage apartment, and I will never forgive her for picking that apartment.
Yeah,
for
that's right.
Me to
you
move into.
You weren't there.
That was not handicap accessible, and I was literally in a wheelchair. She was like, it'll be fine. I was like, I'm not sure it will. And then it wasn't. And I couldn't get out of it.
Couldn't get out of the fucking trap.
There was a threshold over the door that I could not get the wheelchair over. I digress. I love you, Kylie.
Oh,
I love you so much.
So, Tina and Todd, the Tina and Todd, they had one of those on-again, off-again relationships.
Oh.
And honestly, her friends, they don't know if this is going to work out or not.
Okay. So they see the writing on the wall. They're like, I don't know if this is the best thing in the world.
It's not because, like, Todd's like a bad dude. They're just like, these two
not
are...
Not jiving.
They're weird together. It just seems like they're... So... Fannie Weinstein, a journalist that covered the case, said there was also another side to Tina.
Oh.
Yeah.
A dark side?
Well, I don't know if I would call it dark. They said that she could be distrusting and sometimes a little bit vengeful.
Okay. Little insecure, little I'm going to get you back for what you did to me.
Yeah. And she had a bit of a temper.
Oh.
Which you can attest to. I mean, maybe you can't attest to it, but maybe you can, what's the word I'm looking for here? Empathize because you spread horse shit on somebody's car.
I was a teenager. Well, I guess she's a teenager.
No,
too.
She's not. She's 23.
Oh, just kidding. yes, I was 18, whenever, or no, 17, whenever that happened. So I was full of venge. I was vengeful.
She was vengeful. Yeah. Okay. So.
Okay.
All right. Tina was working on a research project because she wants to get into a nice grad school. Are you ready for the title of this research project? She's a psychology major.
Lay it on me.
This is not your run-of-the-mill research. Okay. This is a research project called A Study of Sexual History and Health Practices Among Women Employed as Escorts.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. So she's getting into the nitty-gritty.
Yes.
Okay.
So they're, you know, it's 95.
Yeah.
So AIDS is still, that's a riddle that has not quite been solved.
Okay.
You know, not nearly as well as it is now. Okay.
So she's diving into the what can happen, what can go wrong, what could go right.
Spreading. Maybe. How can we control the spread of this horrible disease? You know, do you know about this and how it's spread, kind of thing. So
yeah, good for her.
She wanted to find out if high-end call girls and street prostitutes had the same knowledge of sexually transmitted diseases. So I took a little bit, and I'm a guy, obviously. That's what Forensic Files differentiated the working women's groups.
Between a call girl and a quote
street
prostitute.
Not just a prostitute, but a street prostitute. And I thought, you know, that's a little bit telling in what they thought about these women, these different groups of women.
Yes. They're placing them into a class of people.
Yeah.
Versus just, this is the whole thing, and this is all we're doing.
There's no umbrella here. Yeah. All right? They're not doing an umbrella thing. They're literally trying to see if these, you know, women, the escorts, that are charging a lot more per hour and mm-hmm. work for maybe an escort service or something rather than, quote unquote, a pimp,
mm-hmm.
versus the street level.
Who are just out there on their own.
Who are just out there on their own. Just trying to make it. You know, do they know the same thing? That's the whole goal of this. So I did pick up on that, though. So that's what the folks in Forensic Files, that's how it was narrated, was high-end call girls and street prostitutes.
So, yes. That was their
verbiage.
Differentiation.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So she thought by doing her own study, it would help her get into a good graduate school. She was a very ambitious and driven young lady. She, you know, high marks at college, top of her class kind of thing. She's like, I'm going to get into a good graduate school.
That's a very big thing to take on and to do yourself. And I guess she's interviewing
people? It's not completely by herself. There are other folks in the project. But they're all doing different kind of things. Like Ohio University has got folks going to prisons or jails who are interviewing women that have been locked up. And doing interviews with them, different people. She's decided that she's going to go about this a different way, and she is going to go out street level. She's going street level and talking to people who are actively working for escort services and actively walking the streets.
Good for her. So that's a big task.
Very, like I said, very ambitious, very driven, hardworking. You know, that's what you think about the family that she came from. Her dad's a military commander, her mom's an RN, very high achieving. So,
she wants to make a name for herself.
August 23rd, 1995. Remember, she's living in that upscale apartment with her boyfriend, Todd.
How old is she?
She's 23.
23. Okay.
Todd's roughly the same age. Right there. They're both graduating at the same time.
Okay.
Okay. Todd left for work. This is August 23rd, 1995. Todd left for work in the morning and said Tina was still asleep. Saw her in the bed. When he returned later that evening, she was gone and he immediately phoned the police.
Good on Todd.
Also, weird. Okay.
Are there cell phones?
It's 1995.
There are no cell phones.
There are cell phones, but I guess probably not everybody has one. We're still definitely in the payphone thing.
I mean, if somebody said, I'm going to be home at this time, and they're not there.
But you immediately call the cops?
Well, I'm a very...
Don't call friends or, you know...
Okay. I would have called friends and family first. And then I would have called the cops, because I'm a very panicky person.
And I even wrote in here, she has not been gone at all. And he's already calling the police.
Okay.
So he calls.
Putting up a little flag for Todd.
Well, so he calls the Rochester police, and they're immediately thinking, okay, missing persons. She hasn't been missing long. Now she's blonde haired.
She's 23.
Blonde haired, blue eyed, all American girl.
She's out.
Or not you know, we're not dicking around with this. So they're treating it as a missing persons case immediately.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she's just out on the town.
No, they are treating it as a missing person case immediately.
Wow. Well, there's that white privilege.
Yes.
Folks.
All right.
Okay, great.
So,
I mean, good. Let's look for her, but let's look for everyone.
But I mean, like, she's literally been gone. And he has no idea what time she left.
Yeah.
Okay.
She could have left 5 minutes ago.
Yes.
And gone to the grocery.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay. So, the detective, Ronald Shankin, S-H-A-N-K-I-N, Shankin? I'm going with Shankin, because he's shanking fools, all right? Said, normally you can solve these kind of cases in a few hours. You can call friends, family, find out if they're there or if they have been there, you know, typically a couple hours, maybe a day, okay?
Yeah.
This case, however, was different from the start. Uh-huh. Tina's car was gone, but none of her personal items were missing from the apartment, and none of her friends have seen or heard from her all day long.
Mm.
Police also discovered that Tina was planning on moving out from her apartment with Todd.
Oh.
Okay.
Wait, moving with him or leaving him behind?
No, this was her moving out from Todd's apartment altogether. Like,
done.
Don't know if they're done for good, but they're on that on again, off again kind of thing. And she's thinking, you know what? I need to have my own spot, you know, kind of thing, possibly.
I'm
so,
just going to go. Yeah.
This led to Ronald, the detective, thinking that something was not right in their home life. This led Ronald to thinking that he may need to question Todd a little bit further and that possibly he was missing something going on in their home life. And like everything may not be on the up and up.
Yeah.
This is way before social media, so it's not like he can pop online.
Yeah, he's not getting on Facebook and being like, what's the latest?
Exactly. There's no tea to be spilled online. Like, the internet exists, but it's AOL and shit like that at best.
Yeah.
So police also find during this investigation that Tina had found out that Todd seeing another woman.
Oh, that doesn't sit well with any female.
No, it shouldn't sit well with anybody. I mean, I found out you were seeing somebody else.
Why are you saying that to me?
Because you're the only person in the room, honey. So
I would never. I only have eyes for you, honey.
Oh, babe.
I know.
So apparently months earlier, Tina had found a card from another woman thanking him, and she knew that Todd had been unfaithful. And reading what the woman had written on the card, on the documentary,
what did it say?
Talking about how how she feels when she's around him, and she can't wait to see him again. You know, XOXO at the end of it. That's still a thing because it's the 90s, you know. So it's apparent that they were more than like work colleagues or something like that.
Like, oh, can't wait to see you again, Todd.
Yes. You set my heart aflutter, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, God.
That kind of stuff. Mm. So despite any differences that they had, Todd denied any involvement in Tina's disappearance. But he's the boyfriend.
Yeah, so suspect number one.
He is suspect number one.
Every time.
And honestly, husband, boyfriend, you probably should be. You're whomever you're living with.
Yes.
So
it's typically not a random stranger.
It is not a stranger.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is.
This is kind of where the story takes a little bit of a turn.
Oh, I love a turn.
Okay, so thinking Todd is suspect number one, but they're starting to look around, including Todd. So Tina apparently been keeping a few secrets of her own. So after she went missing, Todd, after he got off the phone with the police, called her work, the Rochester Chop House, to see, hey, did she show up for work? Did she get called in? What's going on? Have you guys seen or heard from Tina? And this is when Todd finds out that she had quit her job months ago.
Oh. Oh, no.
Okay.
What has she been doing?
She never said anything to Todd about quitting, and as a matter of fact, she had continued to
go and
clean her outfits, her uniforms, including ironing them, so that Todd would not know that she was no longer employed at this steakhouse.
Wow. You know, one of my very good friends, whose name I will not say, her first husband did this for about 6 months before she realized what was happening, and he had quit his job long ago. and was just acting like he was going to work.
Still getting up in the morning and, and getting dressed and going to work? And yeah. Was he going to a bar all day long?
Or? Who knows? Maybe, I mean, maybe he was going to a different job. I don't know. But, like, why do that? I mean, I'm not going to hate on Tina because, I mean, she can do whatever she wants to do. But I will hate on this man because he was a dick. So,
this is Todd. Okay, so this gets Todd going a little bit here. So Todd starts searching the apartment. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's searching the apartment and he's looking for clues. Where could she have gone? What could she be doing? And this is when he finds a duffel bag that he has never seen before.
Oh, what are the contents of this duffel bag?
What do you think's in there, babe?
Oh, God. What would be in there? Is she just going to the gym all day? Is it gym clothes?
Oh, she's getting workout.
Is she, she joined a sports ball team that she just got really sucked into.
She's playing kickball.
She just can't get out of it.
No, honey, no. Inside of the bag, he finds thigh-high stockings and lingerie, lubricants, condoms. So many condoms.
She got into the thing that she was researching.
He also finds envelopes addressed LA Escort Service under the name Crystal.
Oh, no. She got too far in. She saw how much money they could make, and she's like, I could do this myself.
So at this point, Todd... So Todd calls the escort service to see if anyone there knows a Tina Bigger.
Which they don't, because she goes by Crystal.
The owners say they don't know anybody by that name. They did say that they did have a girl named Tina working for them, and she was one of their more popular escorts. Oh. So, Crystal, very popular.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this is pre-internet. So, these services are not advertising online. This is in the yellow pages.
This is a phone call.
This is a phone call. Everything's being done over the phone. It's a phone call. It's the yellow pages. Mm-hmm. Okay. These girls are making, and they're offering, they can't say that they are an escort service.
It's a companionship service.
Correct. It is a female companionship service, and they're charging between $150 and $300 an hour.
I mean.
So, in today's money, 1995 to today, that is $300 to $600 an hour.
Goddamn.
Okay?
That ain't bad.
And it's not terrible money.
It's a risky game to get into,
though. It's a business, though. So
it's risky business.
This is when Todd starts putting the clues, that he starts connecting dots here, and he's like, oh, shit. I think Tina's been living a double life, and she is a high-end call girl.
Wow.
So she went from doing the study about high-end call girls
to becoming...
And part of her research, she's having conversations with these women, and she sees the clothes that they're wearing, some of them, the money that they're making, and she gets
in there.
She gets to thinking, you know what, I can do, she's doing the math here. She's like, okay.
Well, she's probably making, what, $15 an hour at the chop house versus $150 to $300?
I mean, yeah, she's working for $2 an hour plus tips.
Yeah.
So she's doing the math here, and she's like, I can make way more money doing this. I have college tuition to pay for. Mm-hmm. I need housing, to get a new car. I have food. An apartment. I want clothes that look nice. So she has been sucked in.
Yeah.
Down the rabbit hole we go.
Damn.
The LA escort service that Todd called, they eventually do admit after the police get involved, and they're finding out who she actually worked for. They do finally admit that they do know a Tina Bigger that works for them. They also reveal that she is working for a couple other escort services, not just them.
So she didn't just get into one game. She got into a few games.
And she also had several dozen regular clients.
Wow.
Okay, oh, so this Tina. opens up a Pandora's box of possible suspects outside of Todd.
The largest can of worms.
Yeah, okay.
Literally. Oh, my God.
So, you know, police start running.
Well, we still don't know what happened yet. I mean...
She's still... Right now, they're still treating this as a missing persons case.
Yes.
Okay, they don't know where she is. They have no reason to suspect foul play or anything like that. This is a missing persons case. So they start going through the different escort services records, and they see that she's had quite a few dates in a row with a certain individual.
Okay.
So they're going to hone in on the person. They're like, okay, so like you said.
Like she's seen him, you know, four times this week. Maybe we should go check
in. Let's see what's going on here. So their first meeting with this person took place 12 days before she disappeared.
Before?
The first meeting with the person that they're going to talk to. That has been seen multiple times.
Yeah.
Rapidly in a very short period of time. 12 days before her disappearance is the first meeting between these two. This person's name is Ken.
Oh, Ken. Is he Kenuff? Is he enough?
So his name is Ken Tranchita. And their first meeting took place in a lovely little place called the Bluebird Motel.
Oh, I'm sure that was STD free.
This place also still open.
We should probably go there.
I don't think so, honey.
At least drive past it.
We should drive past it, all right?
Yes. Okay. Oh my God, the Bluebird.
The Bluebird. So this is a no-tell motel, okay, on the side of the road. This is everything that you're thinking that it is.
Oh, I'm thinking of some places that I have seen.
So the police are going to search, you know, the Bluebird Motel. They search her house, her apartment. And in searching her apartment, they find a love letter.
Her apartment?
Yeah, searching her apartment.
Oh, okay. Not in the duffel bag?
This is not in the duffel bag. This is in some other place in the apartment. Tucked away. They didn't say where. I'm assuming, you know.
In an underwear drawer.
Something like that. Yeah. All right. This letter is, this love letter, which is kind of a poem, is from a Mr. Ken.
Are you going to read me the poem?
I am not going
to
read you
the poem. Oh, no. I wanted to
it. Was
hear
not
it.
That good. I'm sorry.
Boo. Okay.
Okay. So this is found amongst her personal items is what they say. And they are, you know, searching around town. They got, you know, feelers out everywhere. A local car dealer, because there's posters of this woman around town now.
Yes.
All right. She's been missing for a week or so. And a local car dealer is like, hey, I actually saw this woman at the car dealership looking at cars with a guy, and they show a picture of Ken, and they're like, yeah, that guy. They were looking at getting new cars, and as a matter of fact, I remember them talking about getting the car and him loaning money to her so that she could buy it.
Okay. She got too far in. She got way too far in. Don't be accepting cars from people you met 12 days ago.
Yes.
Don't do that.
That you met on an escort service site.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Paying at least $150 an hour for your time.
Oh, Tina, Tina, Tina.
So at this point, they are like, okay, we have enough. We're going to search Ken's apartment. Okay?
Yes.
We're going to search Ken's apartment. Nothing really going on in Ken's apartment. No sign of a struggle.
No faces knocked over.
Nothing like that. No blood anywhere. Nothing like that. They did see on the refrigerator, however, a piece of artwork.
Oh, God.
With the name Crystal on it.
Oh, no.
You know, just furthering like his, confirming that his love affair with this woman.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Was it a picture she drew?
No. Just like, think of Bedazzled. It's written in a calligrapher kind of style, handwriting, crystal, and then around the outside border stuck to the refrigerator.
It's like her calling card, literally.
Yeah, literally.
This is the card you call me on.
So, a little bit about Ken Tranchita.
Okay.
She's 23. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's 42-year-old, ex-con.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Love that.
With a history of writing bad checks, because we're in that time where you can write bad checks.
Oh, yeah. You know, there was one time.
At band camp?
No. Me and my best friend, we were probably juniors in high school. Me and my friend Brittany, we had gone to the mall. And as we were leaving, I went to go back out. And the mall cop, like, stopped right behind me. And I was like, well, now I can't fucking back out. Why is he just sitting there? Apparently, he was taking my license plate number. And then later that night, I'm at home, you know, I'm upstairs, I'm being all angsty, being a teenager, and there's a knock at the door, and it's a police officer.
Oh boy, I know Becky and Ray love this.
Well, Dan answered the door, and he was like, I don't know what to say to you. I don't know what's happening. So he got my mother, Becky, and she called me downstairs, and he's like, we need to talk to you. And I was like, okay, about what? And he asked if I had been to both the Oxmoor Mall and Mall St. Matthews in Louisville, which I had with my friend Brittany.
Driving around listening to angsty music.
Yes, and I am white, Brittany is black, and they had profiled us as two 30-year-old women who were going around to both malls and writing bad checks. And they showed up to my door because it was my car.
So you're saying that you look like a 30-year-old woman when you were 15, 16.
Evidently so. And so I called Brittany. I was like, Brittany, I think the police are going to come to your house. And she was like, why? And I was like, I don't fucking know. They think we, like, I don't even have a checkbook. What? So it was a whole thing. I don't think they went to her house. I think after
they saw you and they were like, holy shit, this is some... This is
a 16-year-old child.
She doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
I couldn't believe it, though.
Of bewilderment on your face was like, and the cop was probably like, all right, let's get the fuck out of here.
This is stupid. But they were in my living room, the cops, about me.
And this should have been when your parents were like, yeah, my daughter's not talking to you without our lawyer.
They sure did not say that.
They were like, answer the questions.
Yes. Well, Ray wasn't there. I think it was just me and Becky. And
okay.
But anyways.
If a police wants to question your children, that's fine. Get a lawyer. All right, so
okay.
Ken, 42-year-old ex-con with a history of writing bad checks, forgery, fraud, embezzlement, and theft.
Great.
So he is a very well-rounded criminal.
Yeah, okay. Once again, jack of all trades.
Yeah, he dabbles in all the
he
stuff.
He dabbles.
All right? Nothing violent, though.
Yeah, all non-violent crimes.
Okay. To Tina, however, he is portraying himself as this wealthy businessman. Remember, he's spending an hour to be with her.
That's true.
And he's doing this multiple times.
Yeah. Is he going to act like he's going to save her, I guess?
I mean, he's already offered to buy her a car.
That's true. So, oh, God.
In all actuality, Ken Tranchita was a drifter and a loner. He got by with petty theft and being a con artist. He had some sporadic work history, but he never worked at a place more than a few months. You know, so Ken, honestly, he kind of comes across as the guy who peaked in high school.
Yeah.
And he's a loser.
Just trying to, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Floating his way around, just seeing what he can do to make some quick cash and then moving on.
Yeah. He's you know, not.
He's not this big multimillionaire that she probably thinks that he is, correct. Unfortunately.
This is not a pretty woman.
Yeah. Thing. Julia Roberts situation.
This is not what's going to happen here. No. You know, Dick Gere is coming through the...
Dick Gere. I can't stand Richard Gere. All of his movies are terrible. There, I said it. I'm moving on.
Oh, God. Galen is not going to be happy. That's her guy. Okay. So this is where you kind of get the feeling that Ken actually thought that she's his girlfriend. You know, that she is going to...
This is his delusion.
Yeah. You know, he's the guy that goes to the strip club and thinks that the stripper likes him. Okay. Not realizing that she does, so long as you are continuing to hand her money.
Yeah.
Okay.
You throw me a 20 every 20 minutes and then we'll be good.
So, police interview Ken and he admits to meeting Tina, who he knew as Crystal. Ken said that he had met her several times, without the escort service knowing.
Oh.
So just meeting her one-on-one.
Just beeping her up and be like, hey.
Let's cut out the middleman kind of thing. Yeah. I will pay you this amount so you don't have to give whatever she's paying to the escort service.
Which seems like a good idea, but the escort service can probably, maybe not track you, but keep track.
Yeah, they know what's going on. They know who you're seeing, when you're seeing them, how long you're supposed to
be there.
That's
like taking an Uber ride from somebody who's like, oh, I'll just pick you up later. And it's like, no. I'll just hail an Uber. Thank you, though.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
He also indicates to the police that she had stopped charging him because they had become very close friends, is what he said. Okay, so I even wrote on here, this is bullshit. This sounds like bullshit. My bullshit meter was pinging out pretty fucking high right here.
Yeah. No, like, I'm still gonna charge you, and you still have to, I mean, maybe she thought, like, if he's buying me things, I don't have to charge him. Maybe.
Maybe.
So maybe that did happen. Okay. Maybe.
So, This is, you know, like, so she is, it's 1995 for a 1995 woman, because I think y'all ladies have come a long way.
Oh, thank you.
She's very cute.
Yeah.
And Ken.
Is he not cute?
Not so much. Okay. But worse than that, he's not a very big guy.
Yeah.
He's got a very mousy, kind of a high-pitched voice. Oh. And you can hear him during the interview, kind of.
Does he give off, like, incel vibes?
That wasn't a thing yet.
But, like, if it had been a thing.
If it had been a thing, yes, this would be.
It's all coming together.
He's the guy that spends time at the bar. As soon as he opens his mouth, though, and they hear him talk.
And things he has to say are probably not worthwhile.
Remember, he's not what we consider a smart guy. Like I said, he peaked in high school.
And here he is.
And here we are. Okay. So.
Oh, God.
Ken said that the last time that he saw her was when he dropped her off at the airport.
Oh, where was she going?
She was flying to Ohio to service another client.
Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
We're cross country now?
She's in Michigan. We're one state over.
Oh, I was thinking New York. Sorry. You said Rochester. And my next case is New York. Sorry. I got him confused. Okay.
So she's going to Ohio to take care of another client. You know, he's going to drop his woman that he loves off at the airport to do this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing, though. The police pull all of the flight logs. It's 95, so it's before, September 11th. So there's not the same kind of scrutiny, but when you book a ticket, it's got your fucking name on it, all right?
Yeah.
You got to show who you are. So there's no Tina Bigger flying from Michigan to Ohio at any point from any flight anywhere in the state.
Seems like a stupid lie to come up with.
Yeah, he's also got her car. And he's like, well, of course I have her car. I dropped her off at the airport. I'm keeping an eye on it for her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the police are like, hey, can we take a look at Tina's car? And he's like, yeah, sure, of course you can. And they take the car in. They look through it. And looking through it, they find a bunch of receipts, credit card receipts from the escort services, and client lists with different names and phone numbers and addresses of their homes and stuff like that. And they find out, you know, she's got clients not only in other states, but other countries that don't live in America.
Oh, goddamn.
Okay, so, like, she's one of their more popular escorts. So she's got clients.
She is worldwide.
Yeah, so
they're
like. And
she just started this, like, 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Golly.
Well, she's this young, 23-year-old. She's smart.
Yeah.
She can hold a conversation with people. Very good looking.
God. Oh, Dina.
Police, however, are sitting there going, okay. She's never actually left, though, to go somewhere to see any of her clients via the escort service.
Okay.
All of the clients that she has that are quote-unquote out of state or out of the country came into Michigan in the Detroit area.
Oh, they were visiting and she just got their information.
She just got their information. She has not flown to Abu Dhabi or fucking London to service anybody. That's never happened.
Okay.
That has never happened. So police are not thinking that that she left anywhere. Not only that, they have the flight logs.
Yeah.
They know that she has not been on a flight.
Hmm.
Okay.
Oh, so he was trying to make it sound like, well, she's got clients here and there, and she just goes and does.
Sometimes I drop her off at the airport, you know, even though I met her 12 fucking days ago.
That's so stupid.
So it's at this point that the police are like, all right, we're definitely not believing what you're saying, Ken. So we're going to search places that you frequent, your house. And they're sitting there looking at, you know, research shows that if first-time killers, especially because he hasn't been convicted of murder before, they typically hide the bodies in places that they are familiar with. So they're like, all right, these are the places that he goes. We're going to get cadaver dogs. We're going to go out there. We're going to search around. We're going to see if we can find
something. Hmm.
Search around his rented house, search around places that he walks, and they find nothing. And since they didn't have any evidence, they're nothing showing any sort of foul play or anything like that.
They
gotta let him go.
Yeah.
And this is something that they are going to fucking regret.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Oh, honey. Okay.
So, with no other leads, they have no choice but to let him go.
Yeah.
But that's not his car. That's Tina's correct. Car.
Yes. Okay. That's so, not a car that he bought for her. That's just her old
that
car.
That is her car.
Okay.
So that's still in the impound. So they're like, fuck it. We don't have a whole lot of other leads. Let's go back through this car and see if there's anything else that we missed.
What did they find, honey? I know you're about to tell me they find something.
So you got to understand the car. The car kind of looks like my car. We're not going to call her somebody that's tidy in the car. There is shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. She didn't litter.
It's not like my car. It's like your car.
It's like my car. Okay.
Okay.
So there is what they call debris and junk.
Debris. That's a nice word. That's a nice word. Shit everywhere.
There's shit everywhere in this car. Okay. And they actually say this on forensic files. They're like, much to the police's embarrassment, they look at something in the trunk. There's this coffee cup in the trunk. And what they originally had attributed to being coffee stains was actually blood.
Oh.
On the coffee cup.
On the coffee cup.
So they're like, okay. So they pull back the carpeting and the...
where the wheel thing is.
And they find a pool of blood.
Oh, no.
They find a pool of blood. They do a DNA test on it.
No, and it was Tina.
It is Tina Bigger's blood. Okay. Judging by the amount of blood in the car, they are no longer dealing with a missing person.
Yeah.
And they're dealing with a homicide at this point.
Oh, my God. So how long was it before they searched the car the first time, and then they searched it the second time? They were like, oh.
Not very, they didn't say, but we're not talking more than...
like a week, maybe?
A couple of weeks, at tops.
Mm.
Probably a week.
Damn.
Okay.
That's why you gotta test everything. Even if it looks like coffee stains, it might not be.
So remember, Ken doesn't really have any ties to anywhere. He's kind of a drifter. He's a loner.
He's gone.
He's fucking gone.
Oh, he's long gone.
So letting him go is something they're sitting there going like, shit. So Ken has disappeared in the time since he left police custody. And he's the, you know, last person who had the car. So he is by far their prime suspect.
Yeah.
So now there is an APB nationwide for a Ken Tranchita.
Oh, God damn it. Ken. Fucking Ken.
So at this point, this is when another kind of like wrinkle comes in. Ken's brother actually reaches out to the police.
Okay.
And he's like, you know, you guys may want to check out at this house. It's vacant, but our aunt used to live there.
Oh.
Okay. Nobody lives there now. So this is familiar to Ken.
Uh-huh. He's got nowhere else to go. Probably doesn't have any money. So he's just going to squat in his aunt's house that is no longer living there.
So they go looking, thinking that they're going to roll up on Ken, and they're ready.
Where was he hiding? Where was he hiding?
Ken's not there.
Ah, fuck.
But they did go ahead and bring the cadaver dogs and the other dogs, see if they can find a scent, see if they can find out if he's hiding, if he's hiding a body or something. And they do. On September 21st, police cadaver dogs behind the house find a badly decomposed body of a young woman.
Oh.
Dental records are used to confirm that this is the body of Tina.
Oh. God damn it. And it wasn't a familiar spot.
It wasn't a very familiar spot. Someplace that he had definitely been before. It was just vacant, so nobody knew to look there.
Yeah.
There were no pools of blood around the body, which indicated to the police that the murder had actually taken place somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay. Ugh. So now there's a nationwide manhunt on the lookout for...
They better fucking get this man. Okay. If you finish this and they don't get him, I'm going to be so mad at you. It's going to be your fault.
Okay. So... Ken is eventually spotted.
Okay.
He's not very far away. He is in Detroit.
Okay.
An hour away.
Didn't make it far.
Didn't make it far. He's a piece of shit. All right. What are we going to say?
Yeah.
All right. So the police are closing in on him. They found out the house, apartment, shack that he's living in, and they're surrounding him. And he makes a half-hearted attempt to slit his wrists. Okay.
Okay.
Before the police... get to him, okay?
What a dirtbag.
He survives this, and I'm going to throw air quotes up around this suicide attempt.
Uh-huh.
He survives, okay?
Yeah. Ugh. Gross.
The police are interrogating him, and he's stupid enough to allow this to happen without help of counsel. And stay stupid, you dumb motherfuckers, all right? And it's at this point that he admitted that he and Tina had an argument over money. You know, probably because she found out that he's a lying piece of shit and doesn't have any fucking money.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the reason why he stopped paying her. Not because she was like, oh, you don't have to pay me anymore. It's because he didn't have any fucking money.
And he says that things get a little physical. They're pushing each other. They're, you know, and she falls and hits her head and she's dead.
Okay. So sure that that is how that went down.
Funny that you say that. So the coroner.
Oh.
The coroner. Lovely man. He's x-raying. And he doesn't see anything to indicate. He sees, you know, where she may have hit her head, but nothing to the point where she would have died.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're thinking is that she fell and hit her head and was mm-hmm. probably knocked unconscious.
And he strangled her.
And he probably strangled her to death while she was unconscious.
God damn it.
So the police confront him with this evidence. And this is when Ken says something that literally made the detectives take a pause, take a break, take a breath. They've interviewed dozens, if not hundreds, of murder suspects. And this one's like, holy shit, did you just say that?
I'm trying to think of things that he could possibly have said, and I'm coming up with nothing.
He looked at him and said, you know, I knew she was struggling with money, and I just wanted to put her out of her misery. Since she was struggling so much financially.
Okay.
It was like he was doing
her... So it was a mercy kill.
Doing her a favor. Because she, at this point, her credit cards are maxed out and, mm-hmm. you know...
And they probably weren't because she was making a fuck ton of money.
She was doing okay for herself.
Yeah.
So they've got him dead to rights. The family agrees with the district attorney to allow him to make a plea bargain.
That's pretty big of them.
Well, they don't want their daughter's name to be put out there as being a prostitute, a call girl. So rather than going through a trial and having all of this dirt come out.
Yeah.
In the trial, they agree that, you know what, we're going to let him, he's going to plead to second degree murder. He's going to serve life in jail. And that's
what it's going to be.
That's what it's going to be.
And that wasn't even... This started as a school project.
Started as a school. So Ken is sentenced in 1996 to life in prison.
Good.
But he does have the possibility of parole.
When?
He's actually already come up several times. The most recent time is in 2021.
Okay.
Okay. They
kept him in there.
And his story of events hasn't really changed. He's not very remorseful. He's still kind of looking at it as a mercy killing. So needless to say, he has not been... permitted to have parole.
I wonder if he had killed before.
Doesn't sound like it. Don't know.
Because it seems like, I don't know. Seems so random. Like,
this escalated so quickly. Yeah. Honestly, I think they probably got into a physical altercation at his house.
Because she was like, why aren't you paying me?
Correct. And he probably pushed her. She hit her head. She was probably unconscious and fucked up. And he was like, oh my God, she's going to go to the cops because I just assaulted her.
Yep. She was already knocked out, so.
And he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
All right. He's already been to jail. I'm not going back.
God damn it. Well, Ken.
You can fuck all the way off.
All the fucking way off. So, fucking Ken. Ew. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
So I don't really have a whole lot of fun facts because I didn't know what I could research for fun facts.
Okay.
But I will tell you that the Blue Bird Motel still open. I think I already told you that.
You did already tell me that.
And the Rochester Chop House is also still open.
You did tell me that too.
They can both be visited to this day.
Oh my God. You did great, honey. That was wild. That was bonkers.
I told you this was a good one, right?
Yes. And the fact that she would not have even been in this situation if she hadn't started writing that paper and was like, you know what? I'm going to go check this out. I'm going to get in there and get down the trenches. And then she got stuck there.
She got in the trenches.
And then she met a fuckface named Ken. Ken. Oh, my God. That was horrible.
I'm sorry.
You told it very well.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Guys, we have a Instagram page.
We do. It is at #murderpod. Spell it all out. And if you liked this, give us 5 stars.
Please. You know what? We are trying our best. We're working hard here.
Yes. And we are moving on to hopefully bigger and better things.
We also have a Patreon.
We also have a Patreon. Go check us out there. Our little hash browns.
Any new reviews?
No, no new reviews. But if you like this, rate, review, and subscribe. That is the best way to
promote us.
Get the word out.
Yes.
And we would really appreciate it. And we're having fun. And you seemed like you had fun telling me that story.
I did have a good time. Now it's time to go eat some cowboy casserole and maybe have another beer.
Yes.
Definitely.
That cowboy casserole.
That hits.
I think I fucking nailed it.
This time, honey, it's hitting all the right notes.
It's really good. Oh my God. Well, thanks for hanging out. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Guys, if you're going to research something, that does not mean that you need to join in with it, even if it sounds like something fun. We love you guys. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye. Fun and have safe.
Be fun and have safe, guys.
Thank you for listening to Hashtag Murder. Episodes are written and edited by Alex Lewis and Scarlett Hipton. Our intro and outro music is written and played by Derek Branton. Our cover art is by the lovely Lauren Walker. And our name was created by the most wonderful, supportive, and super hot boyfriend, Dustin Branton. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or ideas, you can reach us at hashtagmurderpod@gmail.com. That's hashtag murderpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to tell all of your friends about us. Thanks. Bye.
Testies. Test. 1, 2, P.
Okay. I don't trust it.
It looks like it's doing it. Dottie, we're gonna can we pause it?
Sure. But we can just let it go.
So it's she lived with her boyfriend. Todd was a student. And they also revealed there are, and can you guess, she wanted to find out if high end.
Sorry.
She wanted to, this is how they label it. So.
Okay. Wait, say that again.
The Bluebird Motel in Rochester, New York. Where am I at?
Oh, God.
Candid meeting.
Had to take a quick break so Dustin could remove his shirt.
I'm sweating. It is so hot in here.
It's even hotter whenever you're telling the story. It makes you sweaty.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. All right, my brain's having to do things. I might have to pull my hair up here.
I know.